I have fat fingers, so I knew it was 7 pounds. I just don't. Also had 19 and a half inches on mine, so I guess nines just felt like the right thing to do. So, but anyway, I think applause, no matter what, oohs and ahs, anytime a baby's born is appropriate anyway. So that's okay. Will was telling me just a little bit ago, he will have an address back on the bulletin board if you want to send a card or a note to Joe Washington, that will be back there, or you can text Will and he will get that to you as well. It's good to see everybody out after we had a week off with the snow. I seen last night on the news, they said it was 55 degrees in Billings, Wyoming, and 42 degrees in Orlando, Florida. So something is not quite adding up with all of that. But anyway, I'm glad you all are here. I hope that you know that we're glad that you're here. I hope you know that God loves you. It doesn't even begin to say how much God loves you. Throughout scriptures, one of the metaphors that the writers talk about God's people to talk about us is that of sheep. And sometimes I think that we're afraid that this idea that we are sheep, that we are God's sheep, I think sometimes because we are pretty familiar or somewhat familiar with the animal sheep, and we've heard people that maybe raise sheep, we know that sheep are not known for being really overly smart animals. You've probably heard this. Sheep are not very smart. In fact, some people would even use the word dumb. And so sometimes I'm afraid that we think about that fact that we are called sheep, and we think, well, maybe God is calling us dumb. We think God thinks that his people are foolish. But that's not why the metaphor is used. It's not about God's people being dumb. It's about God's people being dependent. It's about God's people being vulnerable. God's people need shepherds. They need care. And the metaphor is not used, or not supposed to insult us, but it's a metaphor that is supposed to help us realize that we are loved by God. We have been painstakingly, maybe too slowly for some, been walking through 1 Peter. And that's one of the themes through 1 Peter, is this realization of who we are, who you are, who we are, not because of what you're going through, not because of your circumstances. Your circumstances do not define who you are, because the people here that Peter is writing to, these are people that are suffering. These are people that are persecuted. They have been rejected and reviled, been made fun of and mocked, and have been marginalized. They're going through all of these things, very hard times. And Peter is reminding them that you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are God's sheep, and God loves you, and God cares for you. And so when we think about being God's sheep in this light, about how much God loves us, about how precious we are to God, then this is the question, I think, that we ought to all ask. What sort of men are fit to be shepherds of God's sheep? And again, if you realize how precious God's people are to him, if you realize how much God loves his people, then that's a pretty fair question to ask. The qualifications and the characteristics that God looks for in men who are fit to shepherd his people are not the same characteristics than qualifications that the world looks for in its leaders. The world looks for power, people with power, with strength, with might, maybe wealth or greatness, success, according to how they measure greatness and success. But those sort of characteristics, those sort of qualities are not the same that God is looking for in shepherds and leaders. Maybe you're a man who will at some point in the future be approached to serve in such a role in the church. Or maybe you're a visitor here this morning and you want to know what kind of congregation we are and what sort of shepherds we have and the sort of shepherds that we would be looking for to be part of what God is doing here. And so that's sort of why we're going through that this morning, and it comes right after 1 Peter 4, so it just fits that way. And I want us to think about
not only what the book of 1 Peter says, but what God has said about leaders in the past to see what what's the answer to that question. What sort of men are fit to shepherd God's people? So we're going to first look at the book of Ezekiel and what God said to the shepherds of ancient Israel, who because of their poor shepherding, the people of God were dispersed and they were exiled. Here's the word of what God says through the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 34, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, says Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should you not feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." Now, these are the kinds of leaders, the kinds of shepherds who are not fit to shepherd God's sheep. The kind of shepherds who are self-serving, self-seeking, self-absorbed, who are leading or holding a certain role for their own sake, for their own agenda, to accomplish what they want, to take advantage of the people that they're leading. He continues on in verse 4 and says, "The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." Again, this is not what God is looking for in shepherds. He's looking for people who will strengthen the weak, who will care for the sick and bind up the wounds of the injured and search for those who've wandered away. He's not looking for someone who's going to rule with an iron fist. He's not looking for someone who is going to be forceful or harsh. And so God says to the shepherds of Israel, "You haven't done that. I entrusted my sheep for you to care for them, to feed them, to lead them, to love them, to be kind to them. And you haven't led like this." And so because they didn't shepherd that way, here's what God says. He says in verse 11 of chapter 14, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." Sort of, you didn't search out my lost sheep, so I'll do it. He says, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep and have scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness." Verse 13, he says, "I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country." Verse 14, "I will feed them with good pastures, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land, and they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on the rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel." He says, "I myself," just listen here to what the word of the Lord says. He says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God." And how is it that God fulfilled this? It's through the work of Jesus, isn't it? In fact, that's what Jesus says about himself. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, or I am the chief shepherd. And God says, because the leaders, again, because they were self-absorbed and self-seeking, they did what they weren't supposed to do. They took advantage of my sheep. They didn't care for my sheep. They didn't tend to their wounds or the injured sheep. But they didn't care for the sick and the dying. They didn't bring back the lost sheep. Because they didn't do it, I'm going to, or I'll do it. I'll shepherd my sheep. I'll care for them. I'll feed them. I'll lead them. I'll seek out the lost. And that's exactly what we find in Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus does. So it's always one of those questions, sort of, isn't it? Well, what is it that we need? Is it that we need Jesus to be our shepherd? Or do we need good flesh and blood men who will serve as shepherds? And the answer most of the time, and this is this case too, it's yes, right? It's both of those things. Well, we need flesh and blood shepherds who will join with Jesus And we need Jesus as our shepherd and to show them to lead like him and care like Jesus cares. So with that in mind, we'll go back to what Will read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter in verse 1 says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. See, part of the good news here isn't that we need perfect shepherds. And you know why? We don't need perfect shepherds, because we already have one of those, right? And if that shepherd is doing a pretty good job of being perfect. So we don't need elders that are perfect. We just need them to shepherd this way, to follow the example of Jesus. We need shepherds who remember and listen to those words, who shepherd the flock of God. We need those kind of elders. I believe we have those kind of elders. And by the will of God, we will one day have to add more elders to that who will remember this, that this flock, the church, both the church universal and the church here locally, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the elders. It belongs to God. It's his flock, and these are his sheep. And we need shepherds who remember that this is his flock. And so there's no place for shepherds who are self-interested or self-seeking or self-absorbed. Because again, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about Christ. And these are his sheep. And we need shepherds who will learn not only from Jesus, but even from the mistakes that Israel, shepherds who did what they were not supposed to do, will learn from them on how to strengthen the weak, to bind up the injured, to bring back the lost, to feed and to care for them and lead where they need to go. I believe these are the kind of elders that we have right now. We have four men who are like that, who are not perfect. I think they'll be the first to tell you that they're not perfect, but they're always doing their very best to follow the good shepherd, or the chief shepherd here, as 1 Peter puts it, and to be about that shepherd's business, to be about the business of shepherding, caring for brothers and sisters and caring for you when you're sick or when you're hurting, maybe when you wandered away to a place where you shouldn't be. Maybe you've been came to a time or two or so and said, brother, sister, do you know how precious that you are to the Lord? You know what he's done for you. You are his sheep and he loves you. And they have an obligation because, again, they work for that chief shepherd. They are shepherds under his shepherding to bring you home and to tell you that it's not okay for you to be away. We need shepherds to join in the chief shepherd, to be about the business of shepherding and caring for the sick and the hurting and the lost, and again, to feed them and to lead them. Verse 3 of chapter 5 says, not domineering over them in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And again, we see this type of instruction all throughout the New Testament, don't we? To say to anybody in a position of any sort of leadership, any sort of authority, to not lord it over other people. This is how the world leads. That's how the world exercises authority. That's what the world thinks of as greatness. But we don't need that in God's flock. In God's flock, we don't domineer. We don't lord over. We don't act like we're masters. We should set an example. And the thing is, the world might look for leaders and say, well, how are they at running a business? Do they make lots of money? Are they wealthy? Are they powerful? But again, when we read the New Testament and it tells us for how to look for leaders, how to look for shepherds, it never once asks, how are they at running a business? It asks, how do they treat their wife? How do they treat their kids? How do they treat their neighbors? How do they treat fellow believers? How do they treat people who are not believers? And just listen to some of the words that 1 Timothy says. This is what Paul says to Timothy. I'm not necessarily going to read it word for word, but this is for the kind of man that you should look for in an overseer or a shepherd. He says, a husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but listen, a good, gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his household well. It's all about family. How do they act with their family? How do they treat their kids? How do they act with their wife? How do they care for people? Are they gentle with people? These are the kinds of characteristics that are necessary for shepherds, because you're not dealing, again, with just dumb sheep. You're dealing with vulnerable sheep. You're dealing with sheep who need shepherds to care for them, who love them, who are kind and gentle, and who understand your dependence or their dependence on you. In the book of Titus, it's the same kind of ideas. Above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers, they're faithful, that they're not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. They're not running around rebellious. He says that an overseer is God's steward, that he is above reproach. He's not arrogant. He's not quick-tempered, again, not a drunkard, not violent, greedy for gain, hospitable, is a lover of God, is self-controlled, is upright and holy and disciplined. And I think we've probably said this more than a few times already this morning. And you might think, well, that seems like a pretty high bar, isn't it? And I would say, yeah, it is a high bar. Because again, we're dealing with God's precious people here. But we're not saying that these men are perfect men. We're saying that they're an example. And one of the ways that they set an example is through humility. And they set an example through repentance. I believe the elders, again, that we have now are the first to tell you that they're not perfect. They're the first to bring about repentance. Because we need to see what repentance looks like. What does it look like? Well, when you say something you shouldn't say, and then how do you go about writing that? What does it look like when you do something that you shouldn't have done, and how do you go and make that right? What does it look like when you've done something or you haven't done something that you know you should do? We need to be able to look at someone, and God says, the people who are fit to shepherd my sheep are the ones who are examples to the flock, that they're not lording it over them, that they're not domineering. They're saying, watch me. I'm certainly not perfect, but watch me. I'll be the pattern. I'll show you what it looks like to faithfully follow Jesus. Not perfectly follow Jesus, but faithfully follow Jesus. Watch me and I'll show you. I'll show you what it looks like as a husband and as a dad, when I mess up and I don't do everything I should do or say all the things that I should say, but then I try to do my best to make it right, that I don't kick my family around and boss them around. I don't rule over them with an iron fist. I love them like a shepherd loves the sheep. And I believe these are the kinds of men who are fit to shepherd God's sheep. And he says this in verse 4. He says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. All throughout the book of 1 Peter, Peter is encouraging them to not just look at your current circumstances. Because, I mean, right now, both for his audience and for us, sometimes it's easy to kind of say, this is what it looks like to be God's chosen people. To be a royal priesthood, to be a holy nation. Because, again, I'll tell you, these Christians were being kicked around constantly. And the shepherds of these people had to stand on the front line and say, kick me first. Let the darts hit me first. I'll stand between the attacks and God's people, because that is what a shepherd does. When Jesus in Matthew talks about being the door of the sheepfold, that's what it means to be the shepherd is the door. The sheep pen in those days were sort of a semicircle made out of rocks, and there was just one opening. And so the shepherds would lead the sheep into that semicircle, into a rock pen, and the opening there where the sheep could get in and out, that is where the shepherd would position himself. And he would lie down there and he would sleep there, maybe not sleep, but just sit there in the doorway and literally become the door for the sheep. That is what a shepherd does. He puts himself between the sheep and the danger. And what reward is that, or in that? What reward is there in being a shepherd? Long sleepless nights concerned about the sheep. And I know I'm not making this job out to be very appealing, but it truly is. It is because we all have a life, and we are saved to live a certain kind of life, a calling we are served to respond to. And for some, that calling, that life, the ministry, their service is shepherding. And there's unfortunately, I think, very little appreciation or glamour that goes with that. But what does go with it is this: you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And from who? From the chief shepherd, because that's who you're doing it for and with. You see, we all have to remember that whatever job we're doing, whether we're a shepherd or we'll ever be a shepherd, you're doing something for the Lord. You are saved to serve. And just like we talked about the last time when we were here, you have a life that you were saved to live. And as you live out that life, you may not get very many pats on the back. You might not get too many rounds of applause. You may not get too much thanks or gratitude. In fact, people may not even know the good that you're doing. For moms, it might be changing diapers, you're cooking dinner, or you're cooking breakfast, or you're getting stuff ready for the day. Or dads, it's when you're working and you're taking care of your kiddos or whatever you're doing. Grandmas and grandpas, I mean, all of that service you are doing, who are you doing it for? And Peter says we are doing it for him, for Christ. That is why we do what we do. So I guess go back to our question, what sort of men are fit to shepherd God's sheep? Here's what we need. We need men who will shepherd not for their own agenda, not for our applause, but for the appreciation of the chief shepherd, right? Not for shameful gain, not for what they could get out of it, not for their own agenda, not because it makes them feel good or look good, not for the applause of people, but for the appreciation of the chief shepherd, to hear those simple words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with what I gave you." And so we need to encourage men to seek out and serve in roles like this. We need some of the men to serve in roles like this, not again for your own agenda or for your own applause, but one day he will give his faithful servants the unfading crown of glory. And that's why we do what we do. That's why you suffer what you suffer. That's why you go through what you go through and give up what you give up, because you were God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are God's sheep, and we understand that God is one day coming back. And this is all we have to be motivated to live by. What do you do, and how do you do it? Why do you give up the things you give up? Why do you sacrifice what you sacrifice? Is it for your own agenda? Is it for the applause of men? Is it so you can make a post on Facebook to say, "Look at all the stuff I do"? Or is it for the appreciation of your chief shepherd? This is the life that we are surrendering ourselves to. Not just the eldership, but all of us. Well, we are surrendering ourselves to this life to be motivated by these things. When we were baptized, that's what we are saying to him. We want you to be our shepherd. We want God himself to be our inheritance. What we're living for is God, and that's what we want. It is God. And that's what he gets as his people. He gets us, and we get God. And again, God gets us, and for us to work, to serve, to sacrifice, to give up, to do the hard things, to go without sleep sometimes, and do the difficult, and to have people reject us, and have people revile us, and do things that other people just don't quite understand, or maybe even mock or make fun of us. We do all of it not for our own agenda, not for people's applause, but for the applause of the chief shepherd who says, I will give you an unfading crown of glory. And so what we think about that. Think about people that are here that will one day be presented for that role. And I want us to think about our own role, the life you were served or you were saved to live. How were you saved to serve? And whether or not we're doing these things for the appreciation of the chief shepherd. Maybe you're here this morning and you are ready to surrender your life to Jesus, to save you not just from sin and death, but to save you for a life that is full of meaning, a life that's full of purpose, and a life of service. Maybe you're ready for that. Maybe you've been baptized and you're just ready to recommit yourself to him, to serving and working or doing whatever it is that you're called to do in your own way for his appreciation and his glory. Or maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you're like those sheep who have injuries and you need to be bound up, who are sick and need to be cared for. You've been wandering and need to come home. I believe the shepherds here love you. Certainly the chief shepherd loves you. And there's nothing in the world that would ever they would rather do than to visit with you and be a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen to and pray with you. So if you have any need this morning, we encourage you to come as together we stand and we sing.